Built on the rock, children of the Heavenly Father, on my heart imprint your image, rejoice, rejoice, believers, and so much more. Hi, this is Pastor Will Wheaton inviting you to join us for our hymn sing at the 2021 Making the Case Conference. This year's theme, Northern Lights, Danish and Scandinavian Hymns. Making the Case is Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
But why does he bring up the angels? Because when we gather in the name of Jesus to hear his word and receive his gifts, we are always joined by the holy angels.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of 1 Corinthians.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. So last time, we worked our way through a tough section of St. Paul. Never forget St. Peter's words that there are some things in Paul that are hard to understand. Understatement of the millennia, right? And this is one of those passages. He's seeing something that we have difficulty perceiving in the same way. What he's after is clear, though. The created differences between men and women ought to show up externally in the worship service. He sees that happening in regard to head covering. Men ought not pray or prophesy with their heads covered. That would dishonor their head, Christ. Women ought not to pray or prophesy without their heads being covered, for that would dishonor their husbands. He assumed that everyone would agree that short hair is a disgrace for a woman, the same as being shorn, and that women not wearing some hat or veil or whatever were indicating thereby some kind of independence from their husbands. And he laid out that the male-female relationship here was not reciprocal, it's not identical, but runs in a specific ordering, and that ordering reflects the way Genesis tells us God made humanity, first Adam, then Eve. So the husband has the rule as head over the wife, but both share the image of God. Clear as mud, right? Just wait. He's got more befuddling things to proclaim. A reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at the 10th verse. That is why a wife ought to have a symbol of authority on her head, because of the angels. Nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor man of woman, for as woman was made from man, so man is now born of woman, and all things are from God. Judge for yourselves, is it proper for a wife to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not nature itself teach you that if a man wears long hair, it is a disgrace for him? But if a woman has long hair, it is her glory, for her hair is given to her for a covering. If anyone is inclined to be contentious, we have no such practice, nor do the churches of God. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 10 to 16. Let us pray. Lord, open now our hearts to hear, and through your word to us draw near. Let us your word, heir true, retain. Let us your children and heirs remain. Amen. Ready to dig into this word of God for today? Let's get to it. Verse 10. That is why a wife ought to have a symbol of authority on her head, because of the angels. Okay, that was a turn that you didn't expect, right? The wife ought to have a symbol of authority. Now, the Greek doesn't have a single word resembling symbol in there. What Paul actually wrote was just, a woman ought to have authority on her head. But you can see why the editors added that. The King James Version, in its margin, added, that is a covering and sign that she is under the power of her husband. So a covering or a veil, or in modern terms, even that hat that I remember my mom wearing to church. In St. Paul's eyes, that's a confession that the woman is not operating independently, but owning up to being a wife, and so under the headship of her husband. But why does he bring up the angels? Because when we gather in the name of Jesus to hear his word and receive his gifts, we are always joined by the holy angels. Paul Kretzmann, in his popular commentary, notes the angels being present in public worship are offended by irreverence and misconduct. Remember how at the altar we always cry out, "With angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Holy, holy, holy." And this is what Hebrews 12 says, remember? "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering." Hebrews 12, 22. Verse 11. "Nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor man of woman." The key phrase here, "in the Lord." That is, in the Lord Jesus, all things are brought back to their proper order of dependence. Listen to Chrysostom's insights on this, which he shared with his hearers back in the 4th century. Having talked about the glory of the man, Paul now reestablishes the balance so as not to exalt the man beyond what is his due, nor to oppress the woman. In the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. Each one of the two is the cause of the other, God being the cause of all. Which is Paul's point. So he concludes, verse 12, "For as woman was made from man, so now man is born of woman, and all things are from God." So, if at the beginning the woman came forth from the man, yet since the beginning, since Eve cried out, "I've gotten a man with the help of the Lord," see Genesis 4, every man has come forth from some woman. And so if the original order is to be honored with man given the headship, yet the current ordering in this world is also to be honored with the recognition that every man has a mother whom he is to honor. And Paul's point is, it's all from God. And when you recognize that it's all from him, then the honoring of headship will follow along naturally. So he's confident of that. And he goes on to tell them, verse 13, "Judge for yourselves, is it proper for a wife to pray to God with her head uncovered?" His clear assumption is that they'd conclude, "No, no, of course not." Again, we postmoderns, who have a very warped sense of things being properly either male or female, would probably have answered, "Sure, why not?" He wouldn't have expected that, and he doesn't assume it from the Corinthians he's writing to. Verse 14, "Does not nature itself teach you that if a man wears long hair, it is a disgrace for him?" Rhetorical question again. His clear assumption is that all his hearers are going to agree with him. Yep, that's what nature teaches. As we heard last time, running in the background, it's the conviction that men are men and women are women. St. Ambrose, the fellow who baptized St. Augustine, put it rather bluntly. "One act is becoming to man, another to a woman. How unsightly it is for a man to act like a woman." That gets, I think, at the notion of the long hair. That's a woman's preoccupation, something she takes pride in. It's not to be the preoccupation of a man to have his hair prettified. And thus you usually see that men tend to wear their hair shorter so as to simply not have to bother with it. It's of a piece with the way women accessorize. I once took a picture of my wife's side of the closet floor and compared it to my side. Now, my wife doesn't even collect shoes, but she has tons more than I do, and she should. Women caring about such things is beautiful. It's part of their being women. But for a man to be preoccupied with pretty shoes in a variety of colors and such? Well, I think that's the exact parallel to what Paul means here. Nature teaches you that's not the stuff men are to be preoccupied with, or at least not when they are living according to the way that God made them. Verse 15, But if a woman has long hair, it is her glory, for her hair is given to her for a covering. That first part is the same rhetorical question. Wouldn't it be a point of shame for a man to be obsessed with his coiffure, while for a woman, that's the point of her glory? Yay. And surely it ought to give us pause that across human history, Paul's actually been right. Most cultures in most times, you can observe women have longer hair, men have shorter. But what did Paul mean when he said it was given her for a covering? I think he meant so that the wife's longer hair would itself be public, an open sign of her being woman, not man. Wife, not husband. Verse 16. If anyone is inclined to be contentious, we have no such practice, nor do the churches of God. Contentious means if you're going to argue with me about my conclusions from nature, this ought to settle the matter. We, the apostles, have no such practice, nor do the churches of God, by which he means any of the communities he has founded, or the mother church in Jerusalem. Wherever there is church, says St. Paul, this practice is observed, that the men do not cover their heads in the public assembly when they pray, and the women do. And here we sit today. In the worship book that my church published back as late as the 1940s and 50s, there was a rubric, an instruction, that observed, quote, "It is a laudable custom based upon a scriptural injunction, 1 Corinthians 11, 3-15, for women to wear an appropriate head covering in the church, especially at the time of the divine service." That's in the Lutheran liturgy. That rubric on headgear is 100% in conformity with the way the church worshiped from the time of St. Paul right up to the middle of the 20th century. Today, of course, a woman wearing a hat or a veil in church is more unusual than common. But when something that has been so constant is changed nearly overnight, that always gives me pause. In our arrogance, we can assume that the way we do it now these days, where a woman wearing a sign of authority on her head is rare, is obviously the way it ought to be. Or we can have the humility of admitting, we're not even getting Paul's reasoning here, but, you know, he's the Lord's apostle, and he laid this down as a custom for the churches to observe. And so even though we may not understand it well at all, we can still choose to do it his way. I'll be honest, it's why I still doff my hat at the dinner table when we say grace, because Paul tells me that it would be a disgrace for me as a man to pray with it on. I do think there's a lot to be said for not arguing with or ignoring St. Paul. What do you guys think? Ready to be done with the discussion of proper head attire for women versus men in the service? Good, because St. Paul said all he has to say on that topic. And while he praised the Corinthians for keeping that tradition and sought to strengthen them in their resolve to stick with it, what he's got to cover next is not something he can praise them for. Instead, he issues a call for them to repent and return to what he had originally handed on to them from the Lord. He's going to deal in detail through the rest of this chapter with how they are practicing the Lord's Supper, the Holy Eucharist. Can't wait to cover that topic with you. Till next time, people loved by God, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.